It's a story. It's about a rich man named Proculus who had hundreds of slaves. And he had one slave who was named Paulus. And he was so trustworthy that Proculus made him the steward over his entire household. One day, Proculus took Paulus with him to the slave market to buy some more workers. Before they began to bargain, however, they examined the men to see if they were strong and healthy. And among the slaves stood a weak old man. Paulus urged his owner to buy this slave. Proculus answered, "But he is good for nothing. Please buy him," Paulus insisted. "He is cheap, and I promise that the work in your household will get done even better than before." So Proculus agreed and purchased the elderly slave, and Paulus made good on his word. The work went better than ever, but Proculus observed that Paulus now worked for two men. The old slave did no work at all. While Paulus tended to him and gave him the best food and made him a place to rest. Proculus was very curious about this, and so he confronted Paulus. "Who is this slave? You know I value you, and I don't mind your protecting this old man, but tell me, who is he? Is he your father who has fallen into slavery?" Paulus answered, "It is someone to whom I owe more than my father." "Is he your teacher then?" Proculus asked. "No, somebody to whom I owe even more." "Well, who then is he?" Paulus answered, "He is my enemy." "Your enemy?" Paulus said, "Yes, he is the man who killed my father, and he sold us, the children, into slavery." Proculus stood there, speechless. "And as for me," said Paulus, "I am a disciple of Christ, who has taught us to love our enemies and to reward evil with good. And so I'm doing that." We're continuing our sermon series on the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "Go and make disciples by baptizing and then teaching them to observe what I've commanded you." And we've talked about how it's important to love our neighbor as ourself, to love God. And then last week we talked about, well, who's my neighbor? And we talked about how the Good Samaritan was truly our neighbor. But now it really gets into some really deep Christianity. Because Jesus, all throughout the Gospels, so much says, love your enemy. Love those who persecute you. Love those that the world would say you should throw them out, but I tell you to love them. And it was so important to the early church, they even wrote stories. We don't know if they're true or not, but they wrote stories about how that looked like. Because Jesus said, love your enemy. And it's an important saying of Jesus, and it is so hard to love those who persecute us. But it's what Jesus calls us to do. And I think to myself, how can I possibly love my enemy? I mean, somebody who's persecuting me, I want to kill them. I don't want to love them. But Jesus tells us three things in our lesson this morning from Matthew. So I want to turn to Matthew 5 this morning. I just want to go through this because Jesus gives us a little bit of a hint of how and why we can love our enemies. And the first one is this, verse 45, where Jesus says, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And the first reason we can love our enemies is this, is because God loves our enemies. God truly loves all people. We know that from Scripture. Look at John 3:16, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Or if you go to 1 John 1:2, where it says, my dear children, this is John writing, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He, Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. God loves our enemies. How does that feel? You know, we live in a very interesting world right now where we have the ability to communicate with people without having a face-to-face conversation, right? And it is so easy to dehumanize the other side when you cannot stand in front of them and look at their reaction when you call them all sorts of vile names. I know you guys don't do this, but you know it happens all the time, right? You know that people, nameless, faceless people, are saying mean and horrible things about other people because they're kind of behind the veil of communication without having that face-to-face communication. And this is going on all around us. And it's horrible. Because it's so easy to dehumanize somebody and say, well, that's just the other side. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus said God even loves those on the other side. You know, it's funny. I don't know how long this was. It was within the last year. I had lunch with somebody. And I'm having lunch with this person, and this person said, I don't know how anybody can be a Christian and vote Republican. And then I got home, and on my internet, somebody had sent me a message that said, well, if you're voting Democrat, you're not Christian. And I'm like, well, now, wait a minute. This is what Satan wants, right? Satan wants us to take sides based upon political stuff. He wants us to hate the other side. He wants us to destroy the other side. And it's so easy to do when it's just a label, right? It's Republicans, or it's Democrats, or it's Libertarians, or it's the Green Party, or whoever it is that, you know, the people that want to rile you up. But you know Jesus loves everybody. And as soon as a political party is devoid of Christians, that's not a good thing. So any side, you need to pray for the other side, okay? You need to completely pray for those who you disagree with vehemently sometimes. Because God wants you to love Him first. And everything else is secondary. The rain falls on the good and the bad. The sunshine falls on the good and the bad. Jesus came for everybody. He died for everybody, and He loves everybody, and that's good news, and we as the church can share that good news with everyone around us, and we should do that. So that's the first. Well, Jesus died for almost everybody. Jesus didn't die for Oakland Raider fans, okay? But other than that, we only stretch this so far, okay? No, He did. He died for Oakland Raider fans too. All right, so the second one is this, verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? It's so easy to love those who love us, right? But how hard is it to love those that hate us? How hard is it for us to love the unlovable? And yet that's what Jesus calls us to do. Why? Well, not only because He loves them, but according to this, in verse 46, it's because there's a reward for loving them. Now, we don't understand rewards. I think I've done sermons on rewards before. But we know that when we die and we live with Jesus forever, it'll be so wonderful that there will not be a need for rewards. But yet, Jesus is talking all the time about rewards, about how when you do something, there's a reward for you in heaven. And loving your enemies is one of those. And I think, why is that possible? Or how does that even help? But think about it. If you love somebody who is unlovable, if you do stuff for Jesus that is beyond what the world would do, I think the angels rejoice. I think God rejoices. I think this story about Proculus and Paul, if it's true, it's a great story and we rejoice. Because we know how important it is to show God's love even to our enemies. And I think if this story actually happened, I think the angels rejoiced at that. And I think there was a reward for Paulus on the last day. I have no idea what that reward was. I don't know what it looks like. But I know that God promised it. So there is a reward. So that's one of the reasons. Love your enemies. Know that there's a reward. But here's what Jesus says in verse 48. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemy and be perfect. Now, the Greek word here is actually a word, teleos. And teleos means perfection, but it doesn't mean perfection in the way that you might think of it. It means that you're complete. It means that you're full grown. It means that you're mature. So what Jesus is saying here is that you should love your enemy. Why? Because it kind of completes who you are as a human being. Because the rest of the world around you, they hate their enemy. But I've called you to be mine, and I've called you to love me, and I've called you to love your enemy. And when you do, the part of God that's missing in your heart fills your heart, and you become more and more like God because God is perfect. We are called to love as God loves. And he's like, I can't. I just can't do it. It's hard. Well, of course it's hard. It's hard unless you know a couple things. First of all, knowing that whatever it is that you are angry about somebody else because of what they did, trust me, you've probably done something just as bad to somebody else. You are not perfect. You have no right to stand before the throne of God, and yet God still redeems you and loves you and calls you his own child regardless of that. You were an enemy of God, and yet he overlooked that and loved you anyway. Man, if he did that, do I then not have the power to love those around me? But maybe even more important than that is the fact that we are children of God. We have all of his grace. We have all the benefits of being a child of the King. For some reason, this image has been going through my head. You're going down a forest in the medieval time, and a robber jumps out, and he wants to take all your money. Then you don't have very much money, and he starts to rob and destroy you. And you think, oh my goodness, this is horrible, and you want to beat him up and kill him. But what if you're going down that road, and the robber comes out, and you're a child of the King? What if you're going down that road and it doesn't matter if he takes your money or not because you have everything you could possibly want in life being a child of the King? He's not a robber. He's not somebody that's going to destroy you. He's like a gnat trying to bug you, and you just want to flick him off. Flick, like that. Say, you're nothing to me because I'm a child of the King. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to keep you in my prayers. I'm going to love you as God loves me because I have been loved by the King. Man, that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to be complete. And loving our enemy somehow makes us complete. You know, there's a lot of anger and animosity and stuff going on, even in the church, you might know. You know, we argue so much about this thing or we argue about that thing, but I sometimes think that we lose sight of some of the basics that Jesus taught. And one of the basics that Jesus taught is to love your enemy. To love your enemy. As Paulus did and Proculus was amazed at. Love your enemy as I loved you. It's hard to do, but Jesus calls us to do this. Love your enemy. And I don't think you have the right, personally, to argue about the little stuff unless you get the big stuff right. And if you truly are loving your enemy, then you're putting a face and a name and you're praying for your enemy. I remember that there was this story about this lady that she wanted a divorce. For whatever reason, her husband was being mean to her, and it was all that sort of thing. And the lawyer said, well, before I do this, I really want you to get back to him really bad. She said, I want you to just pray and be kind to him for, you know, like a month. And then when you divorce him, it's going to be like, oh, it's going to just rip his heart out. she's like, yeah, that's what I want to do. And so every day she woke up and she prayed and she served and all that sort of thing. And at the end of the month, she went back to the lawyer. The lawyer says, okay, let's draft this up. She goes, no, I actually love the guy. You know, sometimes what we do creates the atmosphere for us to actually be what Christ has called us to be. Sometimes Jesus tells us to love our enemies, and it's hard, but the more we do it and the more we follow him, the easier it is to love those who persecute us. My friend, Jesus said, observe all I've commanded you. And one of those observes is to love as he has first loved us. May God give you the strength and the courage and the will to be able to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Responding to God's word, we receive our tithes and our offerings.